From Malvern Free Presbyterian Church, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the international radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. This edition of the program comes to you from the Free Presbyterian Church in Malvern, Pennsylvania. During the next several programs, Dr. Mark Allison, minister of the Malvern Church, will be bringing a special series of messages. Here to introduce the series is Dr. Allison.
This is Mark Allison, and I'd like to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we're turning to Romans chapter 8, and we're going to continue the theme that we began on Monday, the theme of what it is to be a son of God. There are those who think they're children of God in our day and age, and they are not. That is the devil's lie. And the devil would tell you that everything is right with you and God when it's not. We truly come into this world children of wrath. That's what Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 3 says. We are creatures of God, but we're not really His sons until we come to faith in Christ. There are others who think they're sons of God simply because they've been baptized or gone through some ceremony in a church. But my friend, doing a ceremony in a church will not make you a child of God either. Those who are truly sons of God are those who have believed in Christ Jesus. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26, we read, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." Again, in John chapter 1 and verse 12, we read there, "But as many as received Him," that is, received Christ, "to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." We become a child of God the moment we believe on Christ. As we continue our study on what it is to be a son of God, I want to draw to your attention the number of verses that are spoken of here in Romans chapter 8. So if you'll turn there, we're going to begin reading in the middle of the chapter at verse 14. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Now, in this passage of Scripture, we find that the true child of God has a supply of power given to him by the Holy Ghost. You read in Galatians chapter 4 that when Paul says that Christ came into this world to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. He then goes on to say, "Because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." Now, it is that Spirit's ministry that gives us life, spiritual life. He is called the Spirit of life, Romans 8 and verse 2. He gives life, Romans 8 and verse 10 says, "And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness." And so we have life given to us, communicated to us by the Holy Spirit if we're His children. Now, this begins actually before we become a child, in that He comes and convicts us of our sin. He convicts us of the judgment that we're facing. He convicts us and shows us the beauty of Christ. And then He renews our will that we might come. That is the Spirit's ministry. That renewal of the will we would call regeneration. He gives us life then. But after we have been declared to be the child of God, He takes up residence in our hearts and He gives us life. He leads us. He prods us. He moves us along this pathway as we follow the Good Shepherd. For that reason, we are not to grieve the Holy Spirit. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32 that we are not to grieve the Spirit whereby we have been sealed until the day of redemption. We're not to quench the Spirit. He says that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. You can grieve the Spirit by your sin and your wickedness, by your speech, as well as by your actions. And you can quench the Spirit by not allowing the Spirit's voice to be heeded in your own life. And so the Spirit speaks to you from the Word of God. The preaching of the Word of God comes to your heart. And you say, yes, that is truth. That is what I ought to be. And then you quench that. You pour water on the fire, as it were. And you do not let the Holy Spirit lead and guide the life. You can grieve the Holy Spirit and you can quench the Spirit. Spirit's ministry in your heart and soul. When you do that, you are the loser. Because the Spirit of God has come to give us life. He is the one who gives life. And you don't want to grieve the one who gives life because you need that life as you're walking here below. He also gives leading. We saw that in verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Well, he leads us to overcome sin. He leads us to indeed turn from our sins when we feel guilty and come to Christ. We do that when we're first saved. We turn from our sins. We know that we're under God's judgment and we're led by the Spirit of God to Christ. He's not going to lead you to put your trust in a church. He's not going to lead you to put your trust in the sacraments of a church, the ordinances of a church. He's going to lead you to one place and one place alone for your salvation, and that is to the Lord Jesus Christ and His atoning work. And so the Holy Spirit leads us there. He leads us to Christ in order that we might overcome sin. How do you overcome sin? Well, if you turn from your sin and turn to works of righteousness, you haven't overcome sin. You still have the guilt of sin upon you. All those sins that you have committed have not been paid for. How do you overcome sin? The beginning of your overcoming of sin is when you come and embrace Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's where the Spirit of God is leading you. But as you walk in the Spirit, you will not produce the works of the flesh, the lust of the flesh. You'll not give in to that, Galatians chapter 5 tells us. And so the Spirit of God not only gives you power to come to Christ, He gives you power to live in light of what Christ demands out of you. The Spirit will never lead you away from Christ. And so if you go away from Christ, you can be assured it wasn't the Holy Spirit who led you. Now, there are other spirits in the world. John in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1 says, believers, believe not every spirit, but test the spirits, try the spirits, prove the spirits to see whether they be of God. There are many spirits that have gone out into the world. There are many false prophets. And there are those who have left the church. They have left the people of God. They've left off doing the Lord's table. They've left off the ordinance of baptism. They've left off submitting themselves to Christ and His authority. Why is that? They've been led by another spirit. The Spirit of God did not lead them that direction. The Spirit of God always leads them to Christ, and Christ's will is revealed in the Word of Christ, that is, in this book. The sons of God are led by the Spirit of God in the place of prayer. They will walk with Christ in their behavior, but they will also seek Christ in praying. And the Spirit of Christ will lead them that direction as they would seek to do His will. We can also say that the Spirit gives liberty to the child of God. You'll note here that the child of God is not brought into a spirit of bondage, verse 15, again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now, we have become a child of God, and His Spirit dwells within, and the Bible says where the Spirit is, there's liberty. And Paul is reflecting that here as well in his writings in Romans chapter 8. Now, a bondage is that fear of coming before God, being in the presence of God, and being rejected. What a bondage it is to know that you can't come and draw near to God because your sins are upon your head. Well, the Spirit has come to give you liberty in the presence of God, showing you that the blood of Christ has washed away all your sins, showing you that you have imputed to you the perfect righteousness of His own dear Son. Later on, Paul makes mention of this great work And he says in verse 33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Well, the Spirit is trying to get you to believe that. No one can bring a charge against you that God doesn't know about. He is the one that's removed your sins by the shed blood of Christ, and He is the one who's imputed to you the perfect righteousness of His Son. The next verse says, who is he that condemneth? What can condemn you? Only your sin. The only thing that can condemn you before God is your rebellion, your sin, your iniquity that you have done in this earth. Paul says, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. How can you be condemned if Christ has died for all of your sins? And no one can bring to Christ a sin that he doesn't know about, because he died for all of your sins. Some would ask, well, has he died for sins I have not yet committed? Well, my friend, if you're living in the 21st century, obviously you are, if you're hearing my voice, he died on the cross for the sins you've committed in the past because he knew you would commit them. It's quite simple then to understand that he died for all of your sins, including the ones in the future that you don't yet know about. How can you be condemned? He died for your sins. He conquered your sins in his resurrection. He is in the presence of God. He has not the taint of sin upon him, and he is the one making intercession. Will that be true? And it is true. You cannot be condemned. What a glorious liberty then comes to you. What an openness in your walk comes to you because you are in Christ. And the Spirit of God is trying to get you to believe all that you have in Christ and to walk in that liberty. The Spirit of God gives life. The Spirit of God leads the people of God. The Spirit of God gives liberty to the children of God. Why? Because they are sons of God, God has sent forth His Spirit into their hearts, crying, Abba, Father. We have that intimate walk with the Lord. Before, we viewed the Father as the judge, as the one who is angry, as the one who is going to send our soul to hell for all eternity. But now we view the Father as our Father. And we come to Him like a little child would come to the Father, coming without reservation, coming without hindrance, coming with great liberty, coming to the Father and crying out to the Father, expecting to be heard, expecting to be loved, expecting to be blessed. We come to the Father that way. Why do we come to the Father that way? Because the Spirit has given us life to come. He has led us to Christ, and He gives us the liberty to come into God's presence and enjoy that presence through the atoning work of Christ. Do you have that enjoyment? If not, come to Christ today. Turn from your sins and believe on Christ. Become a child of God through the blood atonement of Jesus Christ. Come and lay hold of Him yourself for salvation. If we can be of help in your coming to Christ, write to us at 610-993-3170. 610-993-3170. Call that number or write to us at our email address, Malvern FPC@yahoo.com.